This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
All right, I want to begin the podcast today by reading to you a note I received in the mail. This comes from the, you could call it the, from the things you don't get in the mail every day file, okay? And occasionally people will send me actual letters, and I love that. That's so amazing, and I read them all, trust me, and I do my very best to write back everyone that I can. Unfortunately, I cannot respond to everything that is sent to me. People send me books, they'll send me articles, all this stuff. But I do my best because I really did appreciate it, because you know what? It's important that we are connected to one another. And so thank you so much for doing that. And I do have a P.O. box, and it's a place where people send, you know, letters and requests and, you know, materials, and those, some of them support me in my ministry through a physical address. But anyway, all that to say is I received just a simple card in the mail the other day. It's a 3x5 card, and it's from a prison in Florida. And I won't give you the person's name, but this person writes me and just says, "Hey, I came across one of your books inside the jail the other day. And man, let me tell you, it was one of the best books I've ever read. Brother Jeff, if you have any books on the end times, Second Coming of Christ, or the Rapture, please send them. I will read them, I will study them, and I will share them with other fellow inmates. Thank you very much, and God bless." You know, here's a guy, and it really doesn't matter who this person is or what this person has done. The fact that the matter is, he's in this jail, in this prison, and he is hungry for the truth. So I guarantee you this guy's going to get a little Jeff Kinley care package to put in the prison library there, because, you know, they're people too. And I appreciate that, because that is why I do what I do. I do this so that people, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they come from, no matter how much understanding of Scripture they have, where all kinds of people can benefit from the truth found in the Word of God. And so thank you for writing me, and I'll get you something in the mail just as soon as I can, and be looking for that if perhaps you may be listening to this podcast. So I encourage you to write me. That's fine. Send me an email at jeffkinleyauthor@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond as quickly as I can. I'm also responding to questions that Todd Hampson and I are getting from the Prophecy Pros podcast. And we're getting a lot of response that people are sending us questions as well. We encourage that. We want that. We answer every question that's sent. So you can respond to that as well. But thank you so much for reaching out. And thank you for praying for this ministry and for supporting it, because it makes a difference. Hey, listen, I want to talk today about a question that I've received recently. And it concerns this peace deal made between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Essentially, what this agreement is, it's called the Abraham Accord. But it's an agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to basically normalize relations between the two countries, to open up more business relations, tourism, direct flights, scientific cooperation, and diplomatic ties at the ambassadorial level. You know, the thing about this, you know, and it also stops Israel's plans to annex parts of the West Bank, provides an opportunity for Israel and the Palestinians to renew negotiations to end their conflict, although the Israelis use the term suspend. And anytime there's peace like this between traditionally hostile nations, that's a good thing. All right. So this is a good thing. But the question is, you know, is this the peace treaty that Daniel 9:27 talks about? And the simple answer is no, it's not. It's a good thing, it could be a sort of a crack in the door that eventually will lead to a greater peace accord, but it is not, I repeat, it is not the agreement that Daniel 9:27 talks about. Now, why do I say that? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, if it was, then we're officially in the tribulation period right now. The seven-year tribulation period has officially begun. God's chronological prophetic clock has begun ticking again, and we've got about 7 years to the second coming of Christ. Number two, if it was the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27, then there is no such thing as a pre-trib rapture because we're in the tribulation. The rapture didn't come. So now we're looking at a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture. Third reason why it's not the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27 is because that means that essentially Donald Trump is the Antichrist. And he's not the Antichrist. And it's just amazing to me how easy it is for something that is in the news like this to just be taken and run with it. You know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the lie of evolution, how for decades and decades, evolutionists have lied about evidence concerning evolution and how they have brought these models of these Neanderthal-looking creatures and said, this is the missing link, and this proves evolution. And then when you say, well, how did you, where's the evidence? And they'll show you a tooth. And you're like, well, where's the rest of it? Well, that's all we have is a tooth. Okay, so you built an entire human around a tooth. Yeah. Well, then the tooth turns out to be the tooth of a pig that went extinct 1,000 years ago. Or Neanderthal man turns out to really be just the skeleton of a man who had arthritis. You know, just all these lies. Well, that's what people do with prophecy. They take something like this. It's a tooth. It's all it is a tooth. I mean, it is a tooth, but that's all it is a tooth. And it's a step maybe towards some peace. It may open up doors that the Antichrist will later come in and take advantage of and build upon it, but it is not the prophesied historic peace treaty that the Antichrist will sign. Now, people say, well, gosh, isn't there going to be peace in the Middle East? Well, there will, but around that time, there's also going to be a lot of war too. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 tell us about what has now become known as the Battle of Gog and Magog. Now, that may sound a little bit strange to you, but here's basically what's going on. There is an invasion against Israel that is prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39 for a multitude of nations to come against Israel. And some people have totally missed this prophecy, but here's the deal. When you look at from the time Ezekiel wrote this throughout Israel's history to 70 AD when they were scattered across the whole world, this battle never took place. There is no biblical nor historical record of any such invasion ever occurring in Israel's history. I mean, even remotely, you can't make this happen from any historical event, try to force this into what the Bible says is going to happen. So, therefore, the battle must be yet future. That's why we call it a prophecy. But watch this. Israel hasn't even been a nation from 70 AD to May 14, 1948, so it couldn't have happened in between there because no one's going to invade Israel. There wasn't even an Israel. All right, so it has to be sometime after 1948. But there are more clues that Ezekiel gives us on when this battle is going to take place. And I tell you this in light of this whole idea of peace and this peace treaty, because there's going to be another peace treaty that Antichrist is going to sign. I told you about that earlier. But here's what it says in Ezekiel 30, verse 8. Excuse me, Ezekiel 38, verse 8. He says this. He says, after many days you'll be summoned, and in the latter years you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. And by the way, Israel was a basically a wasteland. Mark Twain, when he toured Israel in the late 1800s, just described it as a land of just dirt and brush, you know, bushes. It was just nothing. It was horrible looking. Now it's almost like a garden paradise. God has restored the land. But it says, but its people were brought out from the nations, and it says they are living securely, all of them. So here's what he says. He said, and again, by the way, in verse 14, he says, on that day when my people Israel are living securely. Verse 16 says, this will come about in the last days. Ah, so now we've got some biblical clues as to the timing of this massive battle campaign, of this invasion or attempted invasion of Israel. It's going to happen in the latter years. It's going to happen in the last days. It's going to happen when Israel is restored and regathered into the land, and when they are living securely in the land. Okay, so number one, Israel's in the land. More Jews are living in Israel today than at any time since 70 AD. Over 6 million Jews, almost half the Jews of the whole world, are living in Israel. Okay, so they're there. But they are not currently living securely in the land. Why? Because there's rockets coming in every week, sometimes hundreds per month, from their neighbors. So they are not living securely. They're under air raids. They're under the Iron Dome. There are shelters they run to constantly. There are attacks in the streets. There's rabbis being knifed. They are not currently living securely. So this is why that many Bible teachers and prophecy experts speculate that this war will occur after the peace treaty is signed between the Antichrist and Israel, because at that time they will be living at peace, living securely. And this covenant, this accord that will be signed by the Antichrist will guarantee that. So that's why many people put it there. It's possible that after the rapture, that Israel could somehow find some sort of, you know, security, but probably going to happen after the peace treaty. Probably. We don't know that for a fact. But what's going to happen? Well, these nations are going to invade them. And it's going to be led by a man that the Bible calls Gog, G-O-G. And this word is mentioned 11 times in Ezekiel 38, 39. He's the leader of the invasion. He's a prince. And the other names that are given are all geographical locations, but Gog is called the prince. In fact, he's called the prince of Rosh, which is the first nation. And Rosh, we believe, is Russia, because it speaks of it as being directly north of Israel. You just keep going north of Israel, you're going to hit Russia. The other nations are Magog, Meshach, Persia, Ethiopia, Put, Gomer, and Beth Togarma. And when you do the modern-day geographical equivalence of those nations, you end up with Rosh, Russia, Magog are the Central Asian nations of the former Soviet Union, Meshach and Tubal are Turkey, Persia is modern-day Iran, Ethiopia, or Kush, is the Sudan, Put is Libya, Gomer is Turkey, and Beth Togarma is parts of Turkey. So you have all these nations, and by the way, every single one of them, with the exception of Russia, is a Muslim, predominantly Muslim nation. And they don't like Israel. So, surprise that those same nations are today Muslim nations that some of them have declared that they will one day annihilate Israel. Well, what happens when this war happens? It could be it's a one-day war, basically. We don't know the exact timing, but it's going to happen really quick, because this is what happens. God fights for Israel in four major ways. Number one, this is all from Ezekiel 38, by the way. It says, there will be a massive earthquake in verses 18 through 20. And the reason that's going to happen is God says he's going to come against them, and that his fury will mount up in his anger. And it goes back to Genesis 12:3, where God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Got to move here. But he begins with an earthquake. By the way, it's going to be a massive earthquake. That's going to cause, verse 21, for there to be infighting within the coalition armies against Israel. And then there's going to be a sudden pestilence or disease. It says, with pestilence and with blood, I'll enter into judgment with them and rain on them and his troops. Torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone. So earthquake, infighting, sudden disease, and then just torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And they're going to be annihilated completely, perhaps even in a day. And the Bible says in chapter 39, verse 9, it says, those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, wars, clubs, and spears. For 7 years they will make fires with them. Well, that fits the seven-year time frame of the tribulation period. So there's going to be smoke rising from the burning of these weapons from all these nations, and that smoke's going to be like a perpetual reminder of the fact that God fights for Israel. But you know what? And during this time, there's going to be a deluding influence God's going to send on the world, and they're not even going to clue in, get the clue that, well, don't mess with Israel. The world's not going to get it. Even the Antichrist won't get it, even though he'll be initially for Israel. He'll be initially, it'll be a ruse, a deception. But this war will really be a threat to Antichrist's peace plan and Antichrist's plans for peace in the Middle East. And so he's not going to be for this, but these nations are going to come. And by the way, and I talk about this in my book, Interview with Antichrist, in the fiction section, about how perhaps this is the way that God just renders the Muslim nations surrounding Israel impotent, and then that opens them up to be able to tear down the Mosque of Omar, which is on the site of the former temple of Herod's temple and Solomon's temple. And this is what enables them to be able to rebuild their temple. So you got the peace plan, and then this war comes, and then the Muslim nations, their military is completely wiped out, and basically just gives Israel carte blanche to do whatever they want to do on the Temple Mount, which if they could do anything, they would build the temple. And this, I believe, could be the way the temple is built during that first half of the tribulation period. So you've got the war of Gog and Magog that's coming. It's going to be a war. But you've got this peace right now that's being brokered. It's not the peace of Daniel 9:27, because every president since Nixon has tried to broker a peace deal. Trump has been more aggressive than any of the others, but he's not going to bring that ultimate peace to Israel. The Antichrist is. So I share these things with you because I don't want you to be confused, disturbed, shaken by things that you see in the news that happen over in the Middle East. I mean, obviously these things are like pieces of the puzzle. Some of them are really minor pieces of the puzzle, but I don't want you to be overwhelmed at the things. I mean, exactly what Paul told the Thessalonians. He just said, you know, I don't want you to be disturbed or shaken in your faith because of a letter or a vision or a dream or a spirit or some person who comes out and says, well, this is it. This is the real deal right here, you know. It's not. I don't believe we're going to be here during that. And even if we were going to be here during the tribulation, this peace deal is not the Daniel 9:27 fulfillment. So, and Trump's not the Antichrist, okay? For a lot of different reasons. But here's the deal. Prophecy always comforts us. It always brings us peace, and it always strengthens our faith. And that's what I want to bring to you, is strength in your faith for you to go deep and to grow strong. That's what the Vintage Truth podcast is all about. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. give it a little bit of clarity, because clarity leads to confidence, my friend. And that's what we all need today, is confidence in these crazy, crazy times in which we're living. Thank you for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please support this ministry if you can. And more than anything else, keep walking with Jesus. God bless. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.